Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this difficult life. And the saint in our target today that we're learning from, talking about, is Saint John Paul II. And a meditation he gave that was only published recently, which is fascinating because it is very powerful, and it's called Givenness?
Givenness.
Yes. So anyway, Steph, why don't you get us started on this conversation?
Yeah. Beautiful work of St. John Paul II. So recently we were traveling up to Maine and we stopped in Washington, D.C. Mm. And this is going to lead into this idea of entrustment, that God wants to entrust someone else to you. So, and you probably didn't realize the magnitude it had on me, in particular.
I have no memory of this dinner or anything. I probably come to me after you reveal it all.
So, we went to kind of a neat place. We went to the Bible Museum in DC and spent the day there walking around, and
cool place, by the way. It's built by Protestants, but a lot of Catholic stuff. Yeah. Made it in, and it was surprising to us.
There was a Catholic Bible in the bookstore.
Right.
Go Ascension Press and Father Mike's, because those were in there. So anyway, so we go and we spend the day, and there was some beautiful productions, and it was quite moving to me in particular. They had a production on the Emmaus, the Road to Emmaus, that brought me to tears. And so it was really worth spending a day. Be great for families to spend a day.
It is a great thing. Yeah, you could spend 3 days there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really nice. So, throughout the day, I was just grateful for the fact that we were by ourselves. Our phones were away. We were enjoying each other's company. We were walking, holding hands, just spending a day in peace and just kind of enjoying it. So then we needed to find an Uber. So we go walking, we find an Uber, we have to wait. So this all plays into this idea of entrustment, the timing of all this. So we have to find an Uber. So we wait for an Uber in the middle of DC, which is no small feat. We take the Uber, we go directly to this restaurant. We get to this very nice restaurant that was recommended to us. And we sit down, you order a margarita. And I look on the menu, and my favorite wine is on the menu, which is something called Clark and Telephone. It's a Pinot Noir. So I'm like, wow, my favorite wine is here. I never see this on the menu. So I order a glass of wine, and we order a nice dinner. As they bring our glass of my glass of wine and your drink, at that moment, this song by Michael Bublé comes on.
Yeah, I remember that moment now.
Called You and I.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both like stopped. We froze.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other because that song was very, very important in our courting.
Yeah.
You sent that to me one time and it brought me to tears, and we would send it to each other and we would listen to this song during our courtship. If you've never heard the song as a married couple, you need to listen to it because it'll rock your world. It's beautiful. So in that moment, we don't speak. We just listen to this song. And I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, and tears are streaming down my face. And all I can think is how grateful I am for the gift of you. And all these memories come flooding back of our courtship, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the beauty, there was this beautiful moment when you and I went riding in your Jeep and you took me out on this road outside of Santa Fe. It was the first time we had met in person, and we climbed up on this rock, and it was no small feat. It was a big rock. We climbed up on that rock and we sat and we watched the sunset.
It was amazing. It's so beautiful, the desert out there.
Yeah, it was incredible. So all these memories are flooding back as I'm listening to this song with my favorite glass of wine and my husband. Mm. And I just kept thinking, what a gift you've been to me, and how God has loved me through you, and how grateful.
Mostly through suffering, you must admit.
There's always that moment, right? So anyway, it was really, really beautiful.
Can I tell a funny story about the rock?
Sure.
So recently we went back just a few years ago, and this is like 10, 15 years later after we first
18.
Were there.
18 well, years. No, it was probably, yeah, about 15 years later.
After we'd first been there. We tried to climb up on the rock.
We couldn't.
To no avail. To no avail.
I actually don't know how we got up there.
I don't either. I'm just like, how did we get up on this rock? Now, our producer, Maggie, could have gotten up there and in one leap. I think she's very athletic, but we are both old now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so this idea of entrustment, this givenness that St. John Paul II has talked about in this beautiful work of his writing. He talks about the word entrustment. God wants to give another person to you. God wants to give another person to you. What a profound gift. And I was reflecting on it at that moment in that restaurant when we were listening to that song. That it wasn't just chance. It wasn't just us being lucky. It was a gift given by our Creator in a particular moment in time.
To remind
us of the gift we are to each other, the gift that He's given us through our marriage and the fruit that it's borne, which we've talked about in previous shows, that it's been remarkable. And so, this idea that God wanted to give you to me and wanted to give me to you for a particular purpose, for our own healing, for oneness, to bear fruit for the kingdom and whatever that was going to look like. And just how, and to love us through each other. I spoke about in a previous show, how I used to pray that God would love you through me because I knew how many wounds you had and I wanted you to be healed. I wanted you to be whole. I wanted your body to quit being on fire because you were always so sick. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted Him to heal you through me. And I used to pray for that. And what a profound gift our marriage has been.
What's funny too about that, I mean, I don't mean to keep, but I think it's interesting because it gives context, is I knew that I needed a tough woman, someone who was resilient and, you know, capable of dealing with my brokenness. Because even though I was working very hard at it, I knew that I was not anywhere near, you know, not even close to being what you might, taking the dis out of dysfunctional, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the climbing on the rock had significance because you needed to be a mud princess.
I forgot about that. It's true. It's true because you kept the way that you spoke to me, daughter of the king and yeah. All these things, I thought, he needs to understand that I'm not fragile, you know, because like the idea of being a princess was like, beyond me. And so when we got to that rock, I took off my shoes and I shimmied up that rock. You know, I think you pushed me too.
You know, I don't know. You climbed it really well without fear.
I got
fear.
Up there and that earned me the title of Mud Princess. I That's remember right. it was Mud Princess. I'd forgotten all about that. That's pretty funny. So going back to JP2's words here, he says, God wants to give another person to you. God wants to entrust that other person to you. Entrustment means that God believes in you. He trusts that you are capable of receiving the gift, that you are capable of embracing it with your heart, that you have the capacity to respond to it with a gift of yourself.
Can I speak to this theologically for a moment? Mm-hmm. And then because I think somebody could easily get stuck if they're a little bit. When I first heard that thought of God trusting us, mm-hmm. I recoiled at it. It was in Dr. Anthony's book. He asked me to review his book on the interior life, Fire from Above. I think it's Fire from Above. And I said, I'm really not comfortable. He said, funny, the censor, the theological censor said the same thing that I had said about it. But I think where I came to peace about it was, why does he trust us? And here's why. And this, I'm going to quote a passage of St. Paul. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So he designed you and you're good and you're fundamentally good, broken as all get out, whatever, because of, you know, your parents' sin, your sin. But he knows that if you give yourself to him, he will bring about in you all that you're called to be. Mm-hmm. So therefore, he can give you assignments. I mean, you can't get around that we've received extraordinary assignments. You know, the Avila Institute, and now we're doing priestly formation from the, you know, talking to guys when they first have the inclination all the way to post-ordination formation in three seminaries. I mean, nobody gets that because we're not, you know, that isn't because we're amazing theologians. That's not because we're equipped on a human level. It's because he entrusted it to us knowing that he would give us what we needed if we would give ourselves to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We're coming up on a break, but sure. When we come back, I actually want to talk about Job in this.
Okay.
Because it makes me think of Job, and I want to start with Job, and then we'll keep going with this in this understanding of entrustment.
Very good. So we'll be right back. Hey, friends. Excited to tell you about a new webinar coming up August 19th, 6 p.m. Central. I will be there talking with my co-author, Chase Krause, on a new book called God of Endurance. And the topic is one that's been very important to my life in recent years. And that is, how is it that I honor God and stop sinning against my body and begin to better take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit that he's given me? And so the book is about that journey and wisdom about a Catholic view of exercise, ascesis, and just honoring God in a more holistic way with our body. So spiritualdirection.com/endurance is the way you find the webinar, spiritualdirection.com/endurance. Join us in this important conversation, and I have no doubt you'll be encouraged. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, talking about the mystery of entrustment,
right,
and the way that God works in a very powerful, redemptive act of love in and through marriage, if we will give ourselves to his plan.
Right. So you were talking about the idea of trust, and that God believes in you. So he believes in you. He trusts that you are capable of receiving the gift, that you are capable of embracing with your heart, that you have the capacity to respond to it with the gift of yourself. And this is not just marriage, it's also motherhood. So the idea of children and trusting children to us. But it was interesting when you said that the idea of God trusting us is, you know, shakes us a little bit, or, you know, makes us wonder about it. And you talked about the scripture from Paul of, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to
be faithful to complete it.
Yeah. You know, will be faithful to complete it. He will bring it to fruition. It made me think of Job, you know, the challenge of the enemy saying, let me go after him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to curse you in the end. He's going to betray you. He's going to, you know, abandon you. And the Lord allows the trials of Job, knowing who Job is at his essence. He knows who he is at his essence. And in the end, Job is faithful and he's blessed. He's blessed. Even though he questions God, even though he's broken, even though he sins, he still worships the God of Israel. He's still faithful to God in the end. That's what I believe when I hear the word God trusts. He believes we are capable because he knows at our essence we are good. We have been created good and he desires that. That doesn't mean we don't have free will. That doesn't mean we can't throw the gift away, because we can, and he allows us that freedom. This idea of entrustment is very important. It's very important. It's a gift freely given. We must embrace it and bring it to fruition. I think part of it is that we have to learn to entrust, to trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. So often the rejecting of the gift isn't because we don't want the gift. It's because we don't trust ourselves to be who we're called to be. Like, it's frightening to go into the places of healing that you have to go into to become who you're called to be. It's disturbing, you know, to deal with your own sin, to deal with your own brokenness, to say, I will give myself completely over to this person and I will receive them completely and love them with all that I am and let the Lord work out the details. It's very unnerving. It's a very vulnerable place to be.
I agree. And I don't, you know, as you're saying that, we didn't have any of these theological categories worked out or even any of this kind of thing worked out. What we had worked out was I was never going to compromise again on my following of the Lord. And I needed a woman who was strong and on that same page. Not perfect, never expected that, but strong on that same page.
Right.
That it, and you know, both of us had experienced so much pain that we're just like, well, nothing matters than Jesus. The commitment to that path is what unfolded all of this that we're talking about. I think it's important for people out there, because I'm even thinking about a couple just coming to mind that's in our recent marriage retreat. We have another one coming up in Tucson here soon. I was thinking about a couple and I always talk about how deep a hole somebody comes out of is really significant when you assess where they are spiritually or they're making progress or what's hope and what's good and what's right in the moment. And we both came out of some pretty deep holes. And so, but it's that focus on Jesus, both of us in the Catholic context. And that self-giving and you know, trusting you was.
It took you like 5 years.
It did. I mean, there's no exaggeration. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is to people who are out there going, well, you sound like this. I don't want them to think we have it all together. And when we got together, we knew all of these things.
Oh, we were such a wreck.
Especially you. Please. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, this may create scandal, but I do remember having a particular fight. The two of us had a fight. We went out in the car.
Right.
So we could fight in private.
Full volume.
Full volume fight in the car so that we didn't scandalize the kids, which they probably heard it. It probably reverberated through the windows.
Well, I did. And I dented the roof of the car from the inside.
Yeah. So it wasn't good. It was terrible. But we were completely broken, and you and I were going to hold hands, head towards Jesus, and hope not to destroy each other, and hopefully repair what we had done in our past
too.
And try to save our kids. So, but in that, like you said, you were never going to turn back. You promised the Lord, I will never compromise on my faith again.
Which I had. Because I had been a Christian long before I met you. I had been Catholic, I don't know, a couple of years before I met you. I'm bad with chronology. I had already converted. And I had been through a very destructive relationship. And in that relationship, to try to keep the peace, I had throttled down, up, chaos, throttled down, up, chaos, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I had a near death experience where then I just said, "Oh Lord, I'm done with this." Mm-hmm. So when we started to talk, you know, what was interesting, I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's very powerful, and it's the secret. We talk about the divine intimacy secret, mm-hmm, in our marriage retreats, mm-hmm, the secret. And we explain all of it in context is, if you get the spiritual right first, everything unfolds afterwards, mm-hmm, with much greater ease. Not easy, depending on how deep of a hole you're climbing out of. But if you get that right, there's hope. Yeah. Right. And I knew there was hope with you, even though I was so, you know, I don't mean to trivialize what burn victims go through, but emotionally, I was an emotional burn victim. Mm. Like every piece of me was raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it took me 5 years to go, she isn't going to leave. And we joke. I mean, I joke occasionally and wake up in the morning and say, "You're still here. Yeah. I'm so glad you stayed." Yeah. But I want to give hope to people. And I guess that's why it's important to talk about how broken.
Yeah.
That this is a lofty vision for marriage that we're talking about here.
It is.
But it can be known by everyone. It doesn't matter where you start, as long as you start with Jesus.
Right.
And the church and daily mental prayer and ascesis, which John Paul talks about when he, prior to this section, we, about having only someone who has dominion over himself can become a sincere gift for the other.
Right.
So we came together and then we both worked on what it means to have dominion in him over ourselves, custody of who we are in our entirety, our emotions, our thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. My, for what always kept coming up for me when we first came together was, Peter, this sense of, Lord, to whom else would we go?
Right.
You know, you have the words of eternal life. I had come out of such darkness and brokenness that once I gave myself completely over to the Lord, I broke my alabaster jar before the Lord. It was, Dan's leading me to Jesus. Dan wants me to pray. Dan wants me to go to Mass. Dan wants me to go to daily Mass. Dan wants me to get into spiritual direction. I mean, I was committed to staying right in tandem with you.
Yeah.
Wherever we were going.
You were rabid about it, actually.
I was rabid about it. I was like, oh, there's Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. Yeah. You know, you're leading me to Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. Right. Because I had made a promise to the Lord that if he would take over my life, I would do whatever he asked of me. And so the Lord entrusted you to me, you know, as an answer to that prayer.
But you had a vision of that. I mean, I don't know what you prayed. I don't know what, at what point did you pray to heal me through you? Is that the right way of saying it?
Yeah, that was after we came together. Okay. You know, that's after we were married. No, it was within the first year because I almost lost you out of the gate.
That's true.
We were married months and you ended up in ICU.
Yeah.
You know, and I really thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
I thought I'd moved.
How many times have you had to deal with that?
You know, I thought, you know, I've moved my children to Colorado and now this man's going to die. So that's where that prayer came from. But, you know, what is this entrustment? What does it reveal to us? In essence, it reveals to us that God is a God of communion. That not only does he want to feed us body, blood, soul, divinity through his body, through the blessed sacrament, but then he wants us to be in communion with one another, just as this reflection of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in communion with one another. Then he gifts us to each other in order for us to become a reflection of the Blessed Trinity, to come into communion so that his lifeblood, his Holy Spirit, can pour out between us to heal one another, to bring us to communion with him, right? Because it's very difficult to come to communion with the Lord when you can't come to communion with the people around you. You know,
well, it's actually not really possible.
It's a terrible place of loneliness and isolation. You know, can the Lord can reach us wherever we are, but in it, it's a greater gift to give ourselves to the person he's given to us, and to allow ourselves to receive the other person, receive what they want to give to us. Because if I focus on giving you everything that I have, everything the Lord gives me, to let his grace flow in and through me, for me to become a conduit of grace into your life, and I allow you to do the same for me, I allow it, right? Because so much of the time we guard ourselves, protect ourselves, we can't entrust ourselves, we can't trust that this other person can give us anything good. But to trust God in that, then that can bring about a greater oneness and greater healing that brings about this great gift of communion that the Lord wants to give us.
I want to close with this one thought, and because I know we have people out there who are single listening and going, you know, what about me? And I think that the principle you're speaking, or that John Paul is enunciating, or that's just true, mm-hmm. is true. And it's one of the reasons why I believe there's no such thing as a single state that is not in a communal consecrated life of some kind. Because those are the two different models of how this comes about. Marriage, it's between a man and a woman. For a religious man, it's between him and God, and him and his confreres in his community. For a religious woman, it's between. And I don't think that we can come to the fullness of maturity of what God calls us to be without sharing in community in a deep way.
Yes.
It's different for marriage, of course, but we have to rub up against each other. We have to offend one another. We have to
sacrifice
fight.
For one another.
We have to deny ourselves for the yes. sake of giving to the other.
Yes.
Otherwise, we get stunted in our spiritual and emotional growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that to be true.
All right.
Okay. Well, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.